teach or do anything, if you just flip the Bible and find stuff, you're getting what's on your mind right then. You're getting what is going on in your life right then. You'll preach and teach what's going on in your life right then. But if you'll take a book of the Bible and go down that book, you will not be able to skip over something. You'll have to preach or teach what's there. But if you know, you'll always flip and flop if you don't. You'll get the good stuff, and you won't ever get a hold of nothing that'll grow you. You'll get a hold of the milk of the Word and not the meat of the Word. But when you take a book and you go from the very first all the way to the back, you don't skip nothing. You stay with it. And tonight I want to preach a title that the Lord's laid on my heart, just telling his story. Paul was just telling his story. That's all he was doing here when he comes before Agrippa and he's there with Festus and they're turning him over. He knows his life is coming to an end. He knows he's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And you know when verse in chapter 27, he's going to Rome. They think they're leading him to Rome, but God had done told him that he was going to have to go to Rome and preach. So anything that they think they're doing to Paul, God done told him he's going to take care of him. And tonight, whatever you think the world's doing to you, God's done took care of you. Amen? Acts 26 tonight, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Paul was just telling his story. Acts 26 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." In verse number 13, Paul said, "And at midday, O king, I saw in the way of a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I pray tonight that I preach in spirit and in truth tonight. Father, I pray that I don't only preach with the unction of the Holy Ghost, but I pray that the Holy Ghost lets me teach and preach with compassion tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you for Calvary tonight. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the prayer request that's all around the room tonight, the ones that's prayed for their families and lifted them up tonight. Lord, I pray you touch their families real good. Lord, tonight, the one that's going to have foot surgery tonight, the men that's traveling in from Texas tonight. Lord, all over this room tonight, we've heard reports, and I ask you to touch them real good. Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Ghost sweep through this room like never before. Father, Lord, I pray it minister to somebody's heart tonight. I pray it minister to my heart tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, for Brother Frank Hughes' family tonight as his mom has passed. Lord, I pray you watch over him and Sister Cindy and his brothers and sisters real good. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to do a mighty work and be with Kinsey tomorrow. She has that baby, Father. Lord, I pray right now a hedge of protection around them. Lord, I pray for all of our King's kids tonight that are out sick and was unable to make it. Lord, I pray you touch them and their mamas and daddies tonight. Lord, I thank you for little Paisley tonight, Father. I thank you for everything went good in her life. Lord, I thank you tonight for each and every parent that's brought their kids to this church tonight to learn thus saith the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight for little Landry. Lord God, I lift her up to you. I pray you touch her body in a mighty way. Father, I pray if there be anything that would hinder this prayer from making it to the throne room of heaven tonight, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of it. And Lord, I pray tonight as we study your word that we can say it's been good to be in your house. I ask you once again to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, Paul was just telling his story. He was just telling what had happened in his life. As we come tonight, in verse number 1, it said, "Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Have you ever thought about tonight, if you got to speak and somebody put you on the spot, what would you say? Every day of our life, people ask us questions and we have the opportunity to speak and give an account of what's going on in our life. Have you ever thought about what you talk and how you talk to people and what you share in different places that we go? Tonight, I want you to know we went from verse 1 to verse number 13, but I want to share with you what Paul shared with Agrippa and what we all should share in our daily conversation. Tonight, when Paul was given the opportunity to speak for himself, he spoke about his conversion. When you talk to Apostle Paul, it wasn't going to be about football. It wasn't going to be about the news. It wasn't going to be about the next big thing coming up or whatever's going on in anybody's life. It was going to be about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight when he got here, he spoke for himself and he spoke about his conversion, or what we might call a testimony, how God has saved his life and how he had turned it around. Tonight, most folks, and I want you to just pin this down on the paper here and you can come read it. Most folks never talk about their conversion because they've never truly been converted. They've never truly been saved. They've never truly been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They never shared the gospel because they don't know the gospel themselves. And I hear people say all the time, "I'd share it if I knew it a little better." How much more can you know about somebody than they saved your life? Amen. Have they saved you from a devil's hell? Hey, that's enough to share. Amen. And when we got here tonight, Paul said, "You're going to put me on there for speaking and you want me to speak. All I can tell you is what God has done in my life, how that Jesus Christ met me on that Damascus road and I heard the gospel and he spoke to my life." Have you thought about this in the conversations that you have with people in the last month or year? How many times just a normal conversation, the gospel or the Bible has come up? It's about a thing that's gone in the world that we live in. People don't talk about the Bible. They don't talk about the gospel. They don't talk about Jesus. They want to talk about everything under the sun, but they don't want to talk about the main thing tonight. And you know what he told Paul here, and he is telling everybody in this room tonight, you say, "I'm saved and I'm going to be silent." It will not work tonight. If he's living inside of you, it's going to bubble up. It's going to come out. You can't do nothing about it, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to look at this tonight. A true conversion, or somebody that's been saved, they're going to tell their story, because that comes with being born again tonight. Look what he says here in verse number 16. After he had been born again, here's what he told Apostle Paul. And he tells every one of us tonight the same thing. After this he said, "Arise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." He said, "I have saved you for a purpose." You say, "He has saved me just to go to heaven and to live forever with him." That ain't all of the story. Can I get an amen? He has saved you and he has saved me to be a witness of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, "I've talked to my family and I've talked to my friends till I'm blue in the face." All I can tell you tonight is keep on talking. Amen. Hey, keep on telling them Jesus. Look what he said tonight. Boy, I can tell I've been in my prayer closet, can't you? I can tell I've climbed in that thing this week and God has moved in a mighty way. And look what he says tonight. He is made for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. He said, "I want you to go out and I want you to preach. I just want you to tell your story. You've not got to be big. You ain't got to be a superman. You ain't got to be all this. All I want you to do is to tell the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the people that you come in contact with." We got two more chapters left, and you know what Paul's done ever since Acts chapter number 9, when he got born again, all he's done is talked about Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been around somebody and all they do is talk about Jesus? You know what that means? That means they're in love with Jesus. That Jesus has done something for them. That he's met a need nobody else can meet. He's done something in their life nobody else could do. And tonight, here's what he did. In verse number 18, when you tell that story, here's what will happen. You say, "Preacher, I don't have a great testimony." If you got a testimony, it's great. If you've got a testimony, it's great. Well, I've never been down the road you've been down. Thank God you didn't go down that road. Amen. I tell folks all the time, you don't have to go to hell to go to heaven. You don't have to walk through the things of this world to be born again. All you have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe on the name of Jesus. Confess them sins. Get that out of your life and ask Him to come in and save you, and He'll do that tonight. Amen. Look what He says here. Number one, I want to give you this. In verse number 18, He just told His story. And when you tell your story how you've been saved, here's what it'll do. The same thing when you talk to people. Look what He says. He said, you're going to go and you're going to tell people this. Number one, He says, it's going to open their eyes. When you tell them about the conversion that is in your life, about the change that is in your life, number one, it's going to open their eyes. Did you know tonight that sin, it blinds a person tonight? When people, that sin that's in their life, a man that's in a lost state, he may be blinded tonight because of sin. Oh, Satan may be painting it up, making it look good, and you come to him and you tell him how God delivered you from that sin, how He set you free. You know what it'll do tonight? Number one, it'll open their eyes. Their eyes will open up when they see the change that is in your life. But listen to me tonight. If you say one thing and do another, that ain't much of a change. Amen. Hey, that's insanity tonight. That's not much of a change. Here, when Paul said that God had opened his eyes, you know what tonight? He literally opened his eyes. He had scales over his eyes, Brother Bradley, and God opened them eyes and He opened it up for the whole world to see. Can you imagine what Apostle Paul seen when God opened his eyes and He made all things new? Look at this tonight. He says that Christ will open them eyes. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3 tonight. I want to show you about opening eyes tonight. I thank God tonight that He's opened my eyes, don't you? He's opened my eyes to things that, and I see totally different than I ever seen before. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3 through 6 tonight. You say, preacher, you talk awful fast. I read in the Bible where He said this. He said that you must believe, you must preach, and you must teach full of spirit and of truth. Amen. Hey, I don't want to be a dead preacher. Amen. I want you to know there's a spirit living inside of me tonight. He said it'll open your eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Look at this tonight. But if our gospel be here, if our gospel tonight, if you're saved, it's your gospel. It's part of you tonight, Brother Les. It's part of your life. It's going to change. When you go to Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's going to be a change. You can't be the same person. You go to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and if they don't call on you to pray, you think something's wrong. Amen? Why? Because they know you're a Christian. They know you are. Look what he says. But if our gospel be hid, who's it hid to? The church? No. If you don't say nothing and you keep it quiet, who's it hid to? It's hid to them that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world, Satan. Here's what Satan has done. I told you it'll open their eyes when you share the gospel. But the god of this world, being Satan, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that's the gospel we share, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So tonight, when you share that gospel, you share that good news, you share how God has changed your life, and you know what, number one, it does tonight? It'll open their eyes. Amen? Hey, you know what I do? I'm not proud of the past I have, but I get around anybody, I don't care where I go, I'm going to share what God has done in my life, how He has saved my soul and brought me out. You say, you just do that because you're a preacher. No, I don't. I did that before I ever started to preach. Why? Because there was somebody living inside of me greater than me, and He was coming forth. Number one, tonight He'll open their eyes. When you share your story, it'll open their eyes. Do you know tonight you've got a story that's going to be similar to somebody else's? And I promise you this, God will always put you in a place where your story will help that person. He'll always do. He'll elevate you to the place that you need to go to. I'm not talking about to the big places. I'm not talking about to the amazing places. But He'll put you right where you need to be to share your story. He'll allow you to share your story with somebody that needs to hear it. But here's the thing. Do we share it? Number one, now he just shared his story, opening their eyes. He said, but when you share it, not only is it going to open their eyes, but it's going to turn them from darkness to light. He said, well, preacher, what if they don't get saved? Hey, if they don't, they don't. But listen to this. It's going to turn them. They're in darkness. They don't know, but you've opened their eyes. You've told them the truth, and they turn and see the light. Tonight, if they turn and they see that light, they see that glorious gospel and what Jesus Christ had done on the cross of Calvary, it is our responsibility to tell our story. That's what it's about. Paul said, man, I'm fixing to go through all kind of stuff. I'm fixing to be shipwrecked. I'm fixing to do all kind of things, but I'm going to tell my story. He said tonight, number one, it'll open their eyes. Number two, it'll turn you from darkness. It'll turn somebody from darkness tonight. If I'm in the dark, I don't want you to come with me unless you've got a flashlight. Amen? I want a flashlight. You said, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? If somebody's in the dark, they want a light. They want you to be a light in what they called you to be. If you call yourself a Christian and they're in a dark place and they need you, they don't want you coming over with your darkness. They want light. They want that light like never before. If these lights went off in here, you know what, tonight? We're going to leave very quickly. We're not going to stay around here very quickly. Have you ever walked through this church at night and had to cut a light on? It is not very fun. It's not fun at all. Darkness is not fun. Walking in the dark is not fun. Once you've been in the light, you don't like the darkness. Turn with me if you will. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness. In one verse, he says it'll turn a person. Look with me if you will to John 8 and verse number 12 tonight. Talking about getting out of that darkness that's in a man's life. And it's going to be when you tell that story of how God has saved your soul. Look at this tonight. Man, I love what he says here, though. And John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. Not only will it open their eyes, but it'll turn them from darkness. It'll turn them from darkness tonight. And it's going to be the story that you share how God has saved your soul that's going to open their eyes. It's going to do it. I've seen it time and time again. I've been in revival services. People may have thought, I don't know what they was thinking. I don't know. But I've seen it time and time again. Their ears cut off. They go dull. They ain't paying attention. They're not listening. And I can get into my testimony, and they say, oh, he ain't better than I am. Huh? He ain't better than I am. He don't think he, oh, he's had a pack. You've had a, and what, most of the time, on if you're going 5-7 days, if when you get right there, if you'll just tell them where you've been and what God's brought you from, the rest of the week, they're going to listen to the gospel. They're going to listen to what's going on. But if you act like you've got it all together and you know everything and everything's hunky-dory and everything's going great, they're not going to listen. They don't want that. They're already in the pit. They want to know you've been in the pit and God's brought you out of the pit. They want you to tell the gospel that can open their eyes and that can turn them from darkness. John 8, 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Shall not. If you ain't got a King James Bible, it probably don't say shall. But this right here says, it shall not. He shall not walk in darkness. Tonight, if you're walking in darkness, get with God. You'll get out of that darkness. He shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's go back to our text tonight. He said, when you share your story, it's going to open their eyes. It's going to turn them from darkness. But look what else it's going to do when you share your story and you tell. God has given you that to minister. Here's the purpose to tell that story. Number one, to open their eyes. Number two, to turn them from darkness. But number three, look what he says here. And from the power of Satan. A lost man is under the power of Satan. He is. A person that's lost and never been born again is under the power of Satan. Satan is all over his life. And at that moment, when that person's lost, you know who their father is? Satan. So I don't believe that, preacher. Your Bible teaches it. Satan at that moment is their father. That's who they're listening to. That's who they're following. That's why they're in darkness. And he says tonight, when you tell them about this gospel, you tell them your story, how God's opened your eyes, how he's turned you around, and he has broke the power of Satan off of your life. I don't like to give the devil very much praise, clout, or authority. I don't. Because he don't own me no more. Amen. He's not my father no more. I've been adopted. Brother Brad, I've been adopted into the family of God. And tonight he says, and from the power of Satan unto who? God. So when you share that gospel, that gives that person the opportunity to leave what they're in and turn to God, get to God. Let me give you this tonight. Freeing from the power of Satan. Satan is a bond master. If you have, he loves to put people in bondage. He loves to put a yoke around your neck. He loves to put things on you. He loves, and I don't want to give him no credit tonight, but it's in the Bible, so I'm going to stop here for a minute. Satan will have a heyday in your life if you will allow it. If you don't turn to that light. Galatians 5:1, turn with me there tonight. If you're taking notes, pin this one down for sure. Galatians chapter number 5 in verse number 1 tonight. I want to show you this in the text. Freeing from the power of Satan, that satanic attack that is on your life. Get away from that tonight. You share your story. And you know what tonight? Can I say this? If old Satan, for a saved person, he can't get in you, but he sure can ride you if you're saved. Can I get a witness? And I've learned something. If I tell my story when I know he's riding me, it does me so much good. Because you know why? I always go back to the bloodline. I'm not in a pity party. It's not old me. It's not old this. But I go back and I start telling my story. And it ain't long. I remember where I come from and what God's done in my life. How he saved my soul. How he's made something new out of nothing that wasn't nothing there. And man, it does me good. It excites me and gets me where I need to be with the Lord and gets Satan off the back. Look in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. If you're saved tonight, you've been made free. You're free tonight. Don't live under bondage. You're free. Don't get around lost people and act like you're in bondage. Don't try to tell. Don't get around. You ain't going to do a bit of good witnessing if you're all in bondage. And you act like, oh, everything's got me tied down. I can't get a break. I can't get. You don't do that. That is a poor testimony. Poor testimony tonight. You've been set free. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we should be the happiest people in the world. I know sometimes our happiness goes, but the joy should be down in there. And if I've got to, and I'm going to tell my story, man, tonight I want you to break that yoke that's on people. And they don't want to talk to you about Jesus if you're always doom and gloom. Never will, never want to. They want you to give them life. And the only way you can give them life is through Jesus Christ. Look what he says here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He made us free. Who in here is free tonight? Amen. Free. Man, I've said this a million times. I've told Brother Eric this a million times. I've got a peace that passes all understanding. I cannot explain to you. A peace. I just can't. Before, I did not have no peace when I was lost. But from the day I got born again, I've had peace. I've not always had pleasure, but I've always had peace. I may have been in a hole, but I've always had peace that God's going to take care of it tonight. He says this, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So tonight I see tonight that once you're saved tonight, you need to tell your story. Because it's going to open people's eyes. It's going to turn them from darkness. The power of God's going to move through that story that you're telling. That's the gospel. How he saved you. How he's changed you. And it's going to free them from the power of sin. But I want to stop right here for just a moment. He said, don't you get caught back in that yoke of bondage. Don't you get entangled again. Don't you get entangled in this sin that used to beset you. Don't you get caught up in things that you know not to do. Don't be looking at your phone and things you shouldn't look at. Don't be using language you shouldn't use. Don't get entangled in this again because it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess up your testimony. It's going to mess up your story. Don't you get into hot gossip at work and man, just get in there with them, get rubbing elbows. Man, it feels so good. Don't do that because they won't listen to you when you go to try to tell them about the gospel. Now, if you're going to be worldly, they ain't going to hear about Jesus. If you're going to post on Facebook, worldly mess, they're not going to listen about Jesus. If you're going to dog everybody, they ain't going to listen about Jesus. They want something. They're looking. They're watching. Paul didn't get caught up in that. Paul stayed with the stuff. And don't you get caught up in it. He said, preacher, you know how hard it is being a Christian? If it's hard being a Christian, you make sure tonight you know this, that yoke is not of God. If it's done got so heavy around you, it's not of God. Take it off. Satan's putting something around your neck that's not of God. You say, I don't know about that. Oh, yes, sir. So tonight, when you get to that place and you get ready to share that gospel, and you say, man, it's so hard, I just can't do it. You get lined up with God and you'll do it. That's the only way I know how to tell it. When you're out of the will, you're not going to share. When somebody knows something on you, you're not going to share. When that yoke is so heavy around your neck, and you're getting caught up in things that you shouldn't get caught up in, and you know you ain't supposed to be there. He says tonight we must tell our story and stay not entangled with the things of this world. Don't you get entangled with that group that's talking about everybody and caught up with everybody. Don't you get entangled with them. It'll kill your testimony quicker than anything. Don't get caught up at the coffee shop talking with the buddies. Don't do it in the break room. It'll mess you up. I'm telling you. They won't listen when it gets down where the rubber meets the road. Well, preacher, they want me to be real. They don't want me to be one of them Jesus people. Yes, they do. They're trying to lure you in there. They're trying to lure you in there. See what you're going to say about it. Why don't you trust old Kevin McDaniel? They want to see what you... Don't you trust old Tony Woodham? Huh? Oh. Don't you buy no cow from Austin Price or Hagen Scott. They're going to see... And they're waiting on somebody to jump in there that they know's a Christian and say, yeah, I'll tell you about old Hagin. And they're waiting on you and they're waiting on me to jump in there and add fuel to it. And instead of telling our story, we're caught up in their story. You know what Paul did? He didn't get caught up in the story that was going on around him. He just told the gospel. Let me show you this tonight. You say, preacher, what about that yoke? What about that yoke gets too heavy? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 30 tonight. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 30. You say, preacher, man, I've got something on me. It's heavy. Man, just living for Jesus is so heavy. Man, being a Christian is so heavy. It's just tough as I can be. You know what a yoke is? It goes around your neck. Be a yoke, go around your neck. If that's your way tonight and that's how you feel tonight, what you've got around your neck is not of God. It's not of God. I've had to learn this, Brother Les, myself right here. And there's a word that I've had to learn that's been so hard in my ministry in the last about 4 years, and the word is N-O. I don't have to give an explanation why I can't do that. I don't have to give an explanation why I can't go there. I don't have to give an explanation why I can't do what I can't. I just know. And that's been the hardest thing God has taught me, just to say, no, I can't. Why? I just can't. Nope. You don't owe nobody an explanation. A lot of yokes that gets put on Christians' necks is not of God, it's of somebody else. And tonight, if you feel like you're overwhelmed, overburdened, and you feel like you're about to blow up, you remember tonight, what's on you is not of God. He didn't put that on you. It's coming from the enemy, and he's putting it on you so you don't tell the story. He said, preacher, it's so hard being a Christian. Look what he says. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 30, what does he say? For my yoke is what? Now who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the yoke that's on my neck? Am I going to believe what I feel like's got me strangled, Sister Kim? That's got all the oxygen out of my throat. Am I going to believe that that's around me? Or am I going to believe the Word of God? The Word of God. He said, my yoke is easy. It ought to be easy. If whatever you're doing gets hard, quit doing it. If you're living for the Lord and you got all this piled on you and you feel like you're getting smothered and you're not able to tell your story, you're not able to be who God's called you to be, get that yoke off of you. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're walking around and you feel like you've got 1,000 pounds on you, God didn't put it there. If you think he did, that Bible's a lie. That word said, my yoke is easy. Following me is going to be easy if you'll just tell your story. Don't get entangled. A lot of times we get entangled, and that yoke, we put that yoke around that neck, and we think, oh, how am I going to get out of this? Amen. And then that burden's not light no more. It becomes very, very heavy. And it should not be that way tonight. Let me move on. I see they're waiting on us tonight. I got two more, but we got to move on. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Tell your story. Number one, it opens the eyes. We see in the text. It turns from darkness. It frees us from the power of Satan. But also here tonight, that they may receive, when you tell them the story, if they ask Jesus Christ to come into their life, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. It's in the plural. It's got an S on it. The forgiveness of sins, we receive that at conversion. Once you're born again, you receive the forgiveness of sins. For it to be in the plural, let me tell you this tonight. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he crawled up on Golgotha's hill, crawled up on that cross, and he died on that cross as you and as me. At that moment, he died for your past sins, your present sin, and your future sin. All of it was done in one time. He died for every bit of that. When you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you received that debt, and you say, okay, I understand that debt has been on me, but I see that you paid for it at the cross of Calvary. Come into my life and save me. He saves your soul. At that moment, you receive and you understand what God's done in your life. And at that moment, that forgiveness of sin has been applied to your life. Your sin has been forgiven. You know who don't want you to remember that? Satan. He wants to hold a tag on you. He wants to hold the payment on you. He wants to hold the guilt on you tonight. But tonight, I'm going to move on pretty quickly right here. The forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future. 1 John 1:9, if you're taking notes, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, that's all you got to do. That's it. If you have sin tonight, all you have to do is confess it. Don't walk with it for 6 months. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's who we serve tonight. All you have to do. You wound up tonight. You got a burden on you, man. You all out. And you ain't been telling your story. And you said, man, I'm wrapped up in sin, preacher. All you have to do tonight is, you don't even have to do this, but I recommend it. That's what I do. Get on your knees. You don't have to, but it shows you humble. Shows you humble. Shows you'll bow a knee to Him. And you open your heart up. And you say, Lord God, I've done this and I've done that. And you already know, but I'm just asking you to forgive me of that sin. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then what did He say in the Psalms 51? What did He say? And He said, then I'll teach sinners. I'll show them. You won't show them with sin built up in your life. At your workplace and at my workplace, wherever I go, I'll be the quietest saved person you've ever seen if I've got sin built up in my life. Last thing, and we're going to move on. Not only do we see that we receive the forgiveness of sins, but when you tell your story, somebody has the opportunity to inherit a major treasure. Major treasure. David Barnes asked me a question the other night. We was working together. You knew it was going to come up in the sermon. Not the one where I smashed my finger. Y'all, he had a vice over at his house. I was working on that thing, closed my finger in it, had to pull it. Anyway, just a mess. David Barnes told me, he said he had a, riding down the road, thought he won the lottery. Said he ain't going to win it, though, because he don't gamble. Because gambling's a sin. It's wrong. You don't do that. You're a deacon. You ain't supposed to do that. Right? Gambling's a sin. So you don't do that. You stay away from it. It's like drinking. Everything else is sin. Stay away from it best you can. Me and him was talking. He said, I was dreaming I was giving everybody millions of dollars. And everybody he gave $1 million, he didn't ask them this question, but he asked me this question, Brother Austin. He said, but when I come to you, I've thought about you a question. I said, what's that question, man? Are you going to change who you are if I give you something? He said, but I had to ask you that question. Are you going to change who you are and what you are in Christ Jesus if I give you something? And I said, well, what did I say? He said, you didn't answer. I didn't ask you that question. It was in my mind. He said, if you said, yeah, I'm going to change, I wouldn't have gave you nothing. I think it was $7 million, by the way. Something like that. A lot of money. But he said, if you said you wasn't going to change, I was going to give it to you. Tonight, God has saved your soul and given you an inheritance. And that inheritance is this. Don't change who you are. You're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That money you dreamed about, listen, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing tonight. I don't care how much is in your bank tonight. When you draw your last breath, somebody else spending it. Oh, you work for all your life and accumulate it. Somebody else going to spend it. I tell Brandy all the time, don't you let nobody pick their nose in my recliner on Mills Hill. You hear me? Somebody else is going to move in there. When it's over, it's over. And the only thing that's going to count is what you've done for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that's laid up over yonder. You're not carrying nothing. If you got 100 cows on that hill over there and you die tomorrow, you know what? 100's still there. Somebody else's. Somebody else's. And he said this. He said, you're going to receive an inheritance that's out of this world if you'll just tell your story. Tonight, somebody needs to hear the story of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how He's changed your life. Look with me right here before we close, and I promise I'd be quick. Oh, my goodness, 10 minutes after 8. Man. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Who? That is in Christ Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. And the Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," Christ was rich, "yet for you and me, for our sakes, he became" what? "Poor. That ye through his poverty," what he did on the cross, "might be rich." You say tonight, "Preacher, can God use anybody?" I'll tell you tonight, God can use anybody to share the story. I thought about this. He used Abraham and he was old. He used Lazarus and he was dead. He used Paul and he was a murderer. He used Jeremiah and that joker was suicidal and depressed all the time, crying, weeping everywhere he went, but he used him. He said, "Well, I'm going to wait till I get better. I'm going to wait till I get more experience to share Jesus and tell my story." Why not share him tomorrow? Why not share him tomorrow? If he can use a dead man, he can use an old man. He can use any man. Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for these people that's in this room. Father, I am praying tonight that as a church we continue to share the story of the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is you tonight, Father. Lord, what you've done in our lives, how you've saved us, how you've just made all things new, Father. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I thank you that we've got treasures laid up in heaven tonight, Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, Father. Thank you tonight when we get to heaven, we won't be empty-handed, Father. Thank you tonight that our salvation is laid up over yonder, Father, tonight. Lord, I thank you for that tonight where robbers can't get in, moth and all these things can't get in there, and thieves can't steal. Lord, it's laid up over yonder. And Lord, I pray tonight you bless these folks. Be with them throughout this week. Watch over them. Have your will and way. And whoever tonight is afraid of sharing their story tonight, Lord, I pray that you give them an unction from heaven. Lord, I pray that they just, as simple and easy as you will allow it, be able to share that gospel with somebody tomorrow. If it ain't nothing more than, "Hey, man, God's been better than good to me." We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You are